Good afternoon and happy Sunday, Philadelphia. You're listening to the first episode of Beyond the Block, a community news program from the Block by Block team at WPPMLP 106.5 FM. On this program, we'll continue to explore issues in the Philadelphia region with voices from the community, but on this show, we'll bring you live in-studio interviews and discuss some of the most recent headlines. I'm Jennifer Robnett.
And I'm Sultan Smalley. On this show, we have a story about everyday Philadelphians engaged in city planning, which will be followed by a conversation with a local botanist about the role plants can play in urban design and development. But first, let's look at some recent news headlines. There's been a lot going on in Philadelphia over the past few weeks.
In this political moment, it's crucial more now than ever to protect our communities by sharing only accurate, fact-checked information. We are seeing an increase in misinformation and disinformation spread through social media, and this can incite fear, distract, and harm. Beyond the Block wants you to be able to spot fake news using the SIFT method, recommended by Northeastern University. Stop, investigate the source, find better coverage, and trace claims, quotes, and media to the original context. You can use tools like AFP Fact Check, factcheck.org, Google Fact Check Explorer, PolitiFact, and Snopes. Fact-checking something local, consider verifying information with credible local organizations that work with affected communities. Learn more about verifying information at factcheck.org.
E-A-G-L-E-S,
Eagles!
As you all, I'm sure, know, the Eagles have won the Super Bowl. And going on Broad Street, I've never felt more proud of my country, Philadelphia. In all seriousness, it was an incredible moment seeing our city in the news for positive reasons as opposed to what we often see. It was a great experience for me, as in 2018 when they won, I was in seventh grade. And I'm glad that we were able to celebrate.
Me too. Although I'm going to be the negative Nancy for 1 second and just say I was very disappointed in city officials for not advising anybody to wear a mask or stay home if they weren't feeling well. And I left Mayor Parker a very strongly worded voicemail the day before the parade. And I would actually just encourage anybody that did attend the parade to just monitor yourself a few days after for symptoms of anything. Like, we have a lot of really bad illnesses going around right now. So just safety first, everyone.
If you love the birds, avoid the bird flu.
Exactly. We don't want it to be a super spreader bowl. No, that's not good. All right. What else do we have? Okay. Oh, we got to talk about Trump again. So in the first month of the Trump administration, the president has made moves to shut down government agencies, cut off foreign aid, remove federal recognition for transgender people, target organizations that promote diversity, equity, inclusion, and arrest and deport undocumented immigrants while making it harder for migrants to legally apply to enter the country. Here in Philadelphia, a number of organizations have come out in support of those targeted by these policies. And Sultan, I know you recently attended a protest in support of immigrant rights. What can you tell me about that? How was that?
Yeah, so the protest was organized by a few different organizations like Juntos and New Sanctuary Movement. And so we joined up in South Philly around Ellsworth Federal, and we marched over into Center City. And so the point of the protest and march was to, you know, showcase solidarity and opposition to Trump's immigration policies, as well as to push Sherelle Parker to keep in place Philadelphia's sanctuary city laws, and to ensure that she upholds our city municipal laws that are supposed to protect immigrants, whether they be undocumented or not. And so it was a incredible moment of solidarity that we saw. We saw people of all different sort of backgrounds and origins in Philadelphia coming together to say that, you know, we support our immigrant population and that we will not, you know, cede ground to Trump and, you know, the Republican agenda regarding deportations.
I like that you described it as like a moment of unity and people of all different backgrounds, because it's like almost like you're describing the Eagles parade.
Yeah.
Like, this has been obviously like a really like intense year and a half for activists. Like, there's been a lot of protests. This has been a really busy protest, I don't call it season. I don't know about you, but I like found myself wishing that, like, with the parade, like, we could, if there was some way that we could attract people to protest the way that we can, like, attract people to, like, a parade for a sports team. Just like,
yeah, I mean, I can tell you that there was a lot of, like, solidarity there, not even just amongst immigration issues, but regarding, like, other issues, too. Like, you saw people were wearing keffiyehs and they were speaking out in support of Palestine at the same time that they were speaking out in support of immigration rights. I think that is a great point that you make, though, and it is interesting to think about how we can sort of attract people that are more politically disaffected to get more involved in issues that concern them and other members of the city. So,
yeah. Did you see anybody at the parade or like on Broad Street that was... Because I was sort of saying, like, I was like, you know, you can say, like, go birds and, like, down with Trump at the same time. And, you know, you could say it in, like, the same sentence. And I was wondering, like, if you saw anything on Broad Street, like, any protesters during any of the Eagles celebrations.
So I did not. I did see, you know, people wearing keffiyehs. I was wearing one.
Yeah, me too.
When we went out. When we went out on Broad Street, I saw different messages that people had spray painted onto walls and things like that, like graffiti. Not all of which I can say on air, but, you know.
We would never do anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. We don't endorse that here.
We don't endorse that.
But yeah, that's what I saw.
Awesome. All right. Okay, so speaking of political and civic engagement, Center City, Philadelphia is in a state of flux. The University of the Arts buildings downtown are still vacant following the abrupt announcement of the school's closure last year. Macy's is vacating the iconic Wanamaker's building at 1300 Market Street. And the plan for Sixers Arena and Market East fell through last month after the team's owners, city council, and community residents and activists had spent years debating the plan. So what's next for Center City? And how can Philadelphia residents get involved in making decisions about urban development?
While government officials and business leaders are usually the ones making these sorts of plans, community members do have a role to play through zoning board meetings and other forums. For the past 15 years, the City of Philadelphia has offered courses that help community leaders learn more about how they can get involved. Jen spoke with two graduates of the program to find out more.
The Citizens Planning Institute, or CPI for short, is a program from Philadelphia's City Planning Commission with a mission to, quote, empower citizens to take a more effective and active role in shaping the future of Philadelphia. In 2010, CPI began offering an 8-week course to help civically engaged residents learn more about the city planning process and develop skills to influence decisions that directly affect their neighborhoods. More than 700 people have participated since then, and Jen DeVore was one of the earliest to enroll. She's an active member of the Point Breeze community who's been a block captain, a committee person, and a candidate for political office.
I have been civically engaged since I was in high school, just realizing like how much our government like could work for us and how much it doesn't. So like learning that at an early age has gotten me very civically inspired and civically active. And so when I moved to Philadelphia, I wanted to become a block captain because my husband and I had just bought our first home in 2010. But long story short, I had become a block captain and I had no idea what I was doing. And it was suggested to me that there was this new program in the city. And so I took the class and I freaking loved it. It was so awesome. I learned a lot of listening skills in that class because of how different everyone is, how different everyone's neighborhood is, how different the issues are, and yet at the same time, how similar it all is, you know? So I learned a lot about listening, hearing other people's stories. And then I learned a lot of technical stuff about planning and zoning. I understood how the planning board worked and all that jazz.
Another early graduate of the CPI course is Stephen Feldman, who also lives in Point Breeze and has been active in his neighborhood's registered community organization, also known as an RCO.
CPI came into my life just as I was starting to get involved in our neighborhood RCO and as I was increasing responsibility at the nonprofit I was working. So I had personal and professional interest.
Stephen emphasized the importance of understanding the role that government plays in urban design and development.
The government's just the way we do things collectively. A bunch of us in a city want to collectively improve how transportation and housing and zoning work, make housing affordable, redevelop old buildings, keep the character of the city, be thoughtful and long-term minded about reuse. But government also is a tool that wealthy people use to make more wealth, and those two things don't work well. I think it was helpful to learn how the machinery of government works and how people interact with it, but it is easy for many folks to overestimate how powerful communities' opinions are. I think there are times when it's useful to override community preferences, such as for environmental concerns, civil liberties, long-term growth pursuits such as reducing our car dependence. But the overridings of community concerns don't seem to be connected with long-term public good. They seem to be more often connected with someone looking to improve their wealth.
Despite the difficulties communities face in their attempts to influence the future form and function of the city, Stephen told me that civic education initiatives like the Citizens Planning Institute provide plenty of benefits.
There are a variety of barriers to getting government to work with you. Time and money are certainly high on that list, but also high on that list is, unfortunately, literacy and legal understanding, which CPI can help address the latter. Frequently, I've noticed the concerns of folks be dismissed because they were not precisely articulated, not politely articulated, not articulated in academic English. So I appreciated that CPI was partially helpful in helping community organizations learn the language and process in order to help leap over the artificial literacy barrier.
At the end of the day, our government's job is to serve the people who live in our city's various communities, as well as future generations of Philadelphians. But that doesn't mean we don't have to put in some work to make things happen.
I always say this. It's like Philadelphia is owner operated. Like, you want your streets clean, you have to clean them yourself. You want to send your kid to public school, you have to be overly involved. You know, you want to have a freaking dog park, you have to get into a war with your neighbors about it. You know, I think people have done some really beautiful things in that, but it's not fair that the onus is on us.
The Philadelphia City Planning Commission is currently in the process of updating CPI's community engagement model, so there aren't any new sessions scheduled for this spring. But you can still find information, tips, contacts, and other resources to get involved in neighborhood development initiatives at their website, citizensplanninginstitute.org. The future vision of Philly's landscape isn't limited to streets and skyscrapers. It can also incorporate plants as part of an overarching design concept that supports the city's green initiatives, which aim to restore ecological balance, minimize the impact of climate change, and facilitate the expansion of urban gardening. Fittingly enough,
The theme of this year's Philadelphia Flower Show is Gardens of Tomorrow. So we've invited Nakia Maples, also known as Philly Plant Guy, to join us in the studio today. Nakia is a local botanist who, among other things, is helping set up the flower show, which begins a 9-day run on March 1st. And most importantly of all, he is my good friend that also happens to be one of the most talented, knowledgeable people I've ever known when it comes to plants. Nakia, thank you for joining us.
Hello, thanks for having me.
If you have any questions you'd like to ask our guest today or comments you'd like to share, we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube, and you can contact us by leaving a comment on either platform. All right, so Nakia, if you could, give us a quick rundown of how you first became obsessed with plants.
Well, I believe that it was first started when I was younger and when I first had my own apartment to myself. And I think just it started naturally just with just decorating and having a green space. I believe it all started probably with me growing little things like tomatoes on the balcony and other vegetables and stuff like that. And I think it progressed to indoors to where next thing you know, after a few years, the plants started just growing everywhere. And the more that they started to grow, the more that I loved plants. And I guess it just took on a natural thing.
Do you remember like your first like big deal, like big ticket plant that you got your hands on, like rare? Like,
well, I like all plants, definitely. I think some of my favorite plants are just regular house plants, just like the regular philodendron plants. I think there's a plant doesn't have to be very exotic for it to be beautiful. Once you enjoy just, you know, the properties that just a standard plant has, I think that'll keep your interest in, you know, in botany, you know, throughout whatever your, you know, plant genre may be.
So you were on the West Coast for a while. You started out in Philly. You were in Philly as a kid. You went to the West Coast, and then you came back to Philadelphia, from what I understand, and you were in South Philly. And that's when your identity as the Philly plant guy started to develop. That was like your rise to fame. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, that all started in a community Facebook group called South Philly. And I joined the community group when I moved to South Philly from a friend. And then the city was really on fire about plants and gardening. And a few people in the group knew that I had a plant, a small plant hoard that eventually grew. And I attended a few community parties and things like that, which I met more plant people.
And then you moved up to organizing plant parties yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Somehow I got designated as, you know, the city's, you know, plant person that you go to if you needed, you know, help with plants. And I believe it just skyrocketed from there. I think these things, you know, have a tendency of, you know, creating their own universe.
So how many, you have a Philly Plant Guy Facebook group now.
Yes.
You have your own Facebook group. How many members do you have?
I think it's getting close to 5,000. It's a private group. It's just for extreme plant enthusiasts.
From all over the world, right?
Yes, it's like, definitely.
What's like the most crazy country that someone's from in that group?
I came across a conversation where they were talking about me in Asia. I've come across conversations where they were talking about me in Australia also. So it's a little weird sometimes when I log on to internet, you know, I'll see things that pop up to where, you know, it's affiliated with me, which is kind of
weird. All seven continents.
Yeah.
You're known.
It's kind of weird for being known for just, you know, plants.
Would you like to see like maybe some of those kinds of online spaces that you have in terms of like you have the Facebook group for plant people enjoy plants. Would you like to maybe see that sort of like physically in Philadelphia, or is that something that does exist?
Well, like the flower show, kind is, I guess, our version of it.
I have a plant party that I throw annually every year. And I think that's a wonderful time to get people from all over the city to come together and party in one space for for gardening. There are a couple different, you know, main Philadelphia, you know, internet plant groups. And I try to, you know, extend the invitation throughout all of them. Try to, you know, I really, really love when I can get all the different plant genres in one space, just like the flower show.
So I was wondering if you can think of any sort of specific plant design, display, concept, or aspect of the flower show in general that you'd like to see the city incorporate year-round?
Well, one of the things the flower show is very good about is creating walk-through spaces. And when I think about the city, I think about, you know, things like the new Chinatown Vine Street project that they're doing. And I also look at some of the things that they did down at Penn's Landing, to where they have some of the hammocks and they have the chairs. These are all green spaces. That's wonderful. So I would love to see more green spaces like that pop up throughout the city, you know, especially in the center city, to where even indoor places that, you know, could create, you know, refuge for, you know, people who love plants.
Yeah, like I was telling you before the show, so there's a Philly Inquirer writer. Her name is Inga Saffron, and she has been writing a series about how they're going to be using the buildings that we referenced earlier in the show, like the UArts building. So Inga specifically wants to she actually called on the mayor to announce like a zoning overlay that would reserve the UArts building for public use, for something like that. And I think that would just be the coolest thing, just to have like a big, like a year-round flower show, essentially.
Yeah.
And
or at least a pavilion of plants.
Yes.
Somewhere in the city, to where, you know, people in the wintertime, just like right now, could, you know, walk in, you know, to a nice, you know, humid, you know, space, you know, that was, you know, free for everybody to go to, that, you know, they can just either go there and read or meditate or just, you know, spend time.
Yes. Philly Plant Pavilion, PPP.
Yeah.
Philly Plant Pavilion. No, I think that would be so amazing.
Well, I think it's interesting, like, hearing you talk about some of the plans that you mentioned. You mentioned what they're doing over in Old City and in regards to the Chinatown project. And so I'm wondering, sort of like, when you think about these projects in relation to, you know, plants, what sort of form and function do you imagine plants playing in making, you know, the city of Philadelphia a cleaner and greener city, as our mayor likes to say?
Well, these spaces, they bring people together. And the city, their spaces are commonly used by folks that, you know, that live here in the city. So I think that the more green spaces that we have, the more, you know, areas that people can congregate in a wonderful fashion.
Yeah.
I mean, besides, you know, wonderful things like the Super Bowl happening, you know, I would, you know, it's wonderful when, you know, when there are spaces in the city where a lot of people congregate, and you can just go on the weekend and just, you know, feel like you're in an atmosphere where people are happy.
Yeah, and I like the development, like I always say, like, make spring garden like an actual garden again, you know.
Yeah,
like it,
yeah,
couldn't be, yeah, like more opposite of a garden, yeah, as it is right now, as, yeah, it exists. So
along with the concerts and stuff in the summertime that they do at Penn's Landing, you know, just, you know, any space that's green is just wonderful.
So you would say that you sort of see these green projects as a way to bring back third spaces in a way?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Interesting.
Look at how many people there were in the parkway and for the parade. So just looking at, you know, that, you know, that overhead image sort of lets you know just how many people that the city has and how many people could come out and have fun. It's just a sight to see. Just imagine that, you know, just on a regular, you know, sunny day, either indoor or outdoor, that you can just go to a nice green space where, you know, people were just having fun.
Okay. Well, if people are interested in what you're talking about, you know, some people might think that gardening is an expensive hobby, but How do you think people can get involved or take advantage of local resources?
Community gardens, Bartram Gardens. You have Philadelphia Horticultural or Pennsylvania Horticultural Society. They all have free programs that you can join. One of the good things and cool things about this state is that, you know, if you wanted to get into greenery or horticulture, there are so many avenues for you to get into, and it's not very expensive at all.
In Pennsylvania in particular?
Yes, definitely.
Can you tell me more about that?
I'm sorry?
Can you tell me more about that? What makes PA specifically a good state for that?
Well, just the major horticultural institutes. I mean, just PHS in itself is a major horticultural institute in this country. Then you have institutions like Bartram Gardens that work directly with the inner city, with inner city youth, with their programs, with green spaces and gardening and wonderful programs like that. Definitely. I mean, I was involved in Bartram Gardens, when I was a kid, I remember through school, through summer programs, that was just wonderful. Even though I didn't get into gardening then, I remember the green spaces, that was available to me as a kid that I really enjoyed having.
What do people need to know about taking care of plants at home?
Well, most houseplants are really easy to take care of. It's only when you get into expensive exotic plants that things get hard. Just your standard philodendron or your sansevieria, these plants can grow beautifully with just your standard, house humidity and light temperature. I wouldn't be afraid or intimidated in growing plants. Even if you fail a couple of times, always try and try again. There are many plants that, that I killed just trying to learn how to grow them. But once I did learn how to grow them, that's when, quality life for me grew.
What are some new things in botany that you're interested in or looking forward to doing in the future?
Well, right now I'm just concentrated on the flower show. As a union stagehand, I also helped build the flower show. And so hopefully I'll be doing that for the next couple weeks here. Working at the flower show, I get a nice sneak preview of all the new plants that are coming in, all the different designs. So that whole 2-week period is just so exciting. It's sort of like my church. I run around, look at this, and I run around, look at that. And I'm excited about the vendors that also come there. I've been saving up some money to spread some love around. Each year, I pick up seeds from the flower show. I buy new plants. Look for some of the small conferences there. You have a lot of fun family things that they have, coming up here horticulturally in the next couple weeks.
Do you get to take the leftover plants home? Thank you so much, Nakia, for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you, dear listener, for tuning in to the first episode of Beyond the Block. I'm Jennifer Robnett.
And I'm Sultan Smalley. Thanks to Marion Nigver, who was our board operator for this episode, and to K. Michelle Watson, who helped us with planning for the show. Brad Linder is Radio News Managing Editor for WPPM. Peta Liu is Radio Operations Manager. And Allison Durham is WPPM's Radio Program Manager.
We'll be back next month with another episode featuring more stories and conversation from our team of Philadelphia area community journalists. And you can find more episodes of Block by Block on PhillyCam SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you find your podcasts.
Thanks for listening.